of God. So we love to get high, right? I love to get high. I'm high all the time on his presence. I used to be an addict to the counterfeit. Now I got the real McCoy. Yeah. And now I can stay high all the time. No hangover. Don't have to worry about losing my family. Don't have to worry about not showing up to work. I can show up to work high. Yeah. Praise God. And not only that, I get new eyes. I get a new heart. I get new ears. I see things differently. I hear things differently. Walk differently. Everything's different. I love differently. It's not lust. It's love. See, love's a choice. I choose love. I don't choose lust because I have power to choose. See, as a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away. If you accept it, if you believe it. Because when you believe, you receive, then you what? Execute. Execute. How many of y'all know we're in perilous times? Things are happening. There's pressure all over. Darkness is overtaking. One of the things, I'm going to share this with you, that not only did the word said that knowledge would increase, but technology has increased so much that technology is taking people out. Try to take somebody's music away or their phone away. They'll murder you. Hello. As the most stumbling block, technology is backed by Satan's kingdom. Why? He's the ruler of this earth, isn't he? Kids are being taken out because of their cell phones. They're spending more time on their phones and Fleshbook instead of Facebook. They're watching pornography and all kinds of other things that they're indulging in. It's moving them right out of position. Parents should not give their children a phone until they can buy it themselves. It's a privilege. I think it's disgusting what's going on. I hear it all the time. I'm seeing kids all over the place. They're not walking in the spirit. They're walking in technology. If a kid can't afford a phone, he doesn't deserve one. That's just my opinion. I didn't get that from God. But I think we think alike. Hallelujah. One of the things that is so vitally important in these days is we need to have constant direction. You know, everybody kind of waits for direction. They always want, Lord, what do I do? We're waiting for direction. And the whole thing is that word, wait for direction. Not assumption. Many people go out on assumption. Then they go out and they say, well, I'm stepping out in blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. Only the devil blinds. God brings sight. If God ain't told you, you ain't seen it. That's faith. God tells you, you see it, you do it. When you don't see it, even Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first, right? There's a lot of presumption. It's called presumptuous sin. And it will lead you into a trap of the enemy every time. One of the things that we must look for, wait for, and seek is direction. Now, it may come by counsel, it may come by correction. Most of the time, correction comes because we miss the direction. Amen? That's where the Lord says he chastens those he loves. But we get it through the counsel of the Spirit. Everything is related to the Spirit. Again, without being filled with the Spirit and being filled, cloaked with God's glory in his presence, how are we going to know what to do? We're going to assume all the time. And right now, we've got to shut errors in our life because the enemy is stalking like he's never stalked before. And time is running out. He is truly out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing it through technology. He's doing it through as many things as possible to get to our children, to get to our spouses, to get to our families, and get to our life. To get to our businesses, to get to our health, to get to our finances. He's doing everything he can to infiltrate. And again, if we're not willing to exchange things, we allow him access. Everyone say, direction brings protection. Psalm 40. Hallelujah. Ooh, yeah. I love God's presence. Man, I could worship forever. Whew. So you got to worship till your flesh stops stinking and it becomes a sweet aroma. Hello? We're to be a sweet aroma to the Lord. We're to be a living sacrifice. Hey, listen, you're going to have to drag your flesh by the neck. Right, throw it in the presence of God. Whoa, get in there. Varmint. See, the flesh hates the presence of God. The flesh is associated with your old man. Your old man hates God's presence. In fact, he hates God and he hates you. But the new creation in you loves him. But there's that battle within, isn't there? It's a constant battle. So the only thing that's going to separate the old man from the new man is liquid. The liquid presence of God. Does everybody understand that? What separates things? How are you going to separate things? Do you ever pour oil in water? What does it do? Comes, it separates, comes to the top. Well, that's why we want more oil. So it separates the old from the new. The more you're filled, the more there's separation. The less you're filled, the old man rules you. That's why the enemy doesn't want people to assemble. He does everything he can. He makes every excuse possible. The less you assemble, the less you are filled. He does everything possible. He makes the world look good. Look at, when you begin to exchange God's presence for worldliness, you've already shrunk it. That means the old man is running again. Don't get, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. We need to say, give no place to self, because he's the offspring of the devil. Amen? In Psalm 40, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 1, would you read it with me? I what? Waited patiently for the Lord, and he what? Inclined to me and heard my cry. Hey, I waited patiently. That word patiently means he endured. How many of y'all know you need endurance? You need endurance of worship. It's amazing what the endurance we had out there when we were in the world. Boy, we'd go through great lengths to make money, get high, and have sex. We go through great lengths when we were in the world, man. Now you're willing to do the same for his presence and more. You know, the world is always saying you need to be someone. God says you already are someone. You don't have to prove yourself. You've been pre-approven. But trust is earned with him, and freedom is learned with him. Amen? So the more right choices you make, the more trust you'll get. The less right choices you make, the less trust you're going to get. That's why he rejects the what? Pride and gives what? Grace to the humble. Grace is God's plan. It's not some mystical, magical thing. Grace is God's plan to escape what? The deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. It's his plan. I keep hearing all of this foolishness about grace. If people really understood and searched the scriptures out and got in the spirit to see what God's character is expressing, that they'd understand these things. But they read the Bible like it's just some kind of book and try and understand it with their own carnal sense. It don't work that way. This book was written by the Spirit, and only the Spirit is going to interpret it correctly to you. Amen? So I waited patiently. I endured for the Lord. He inclined to me when he heard my cry. He heard me. In other words, he answered me. What was I waiting for? I'm waiting for direction. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will what? Trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to what? Lies. How many of y'all know the devil's a liar? He's the father of it, the originator of it. When we were in the world, we were liars. In fact, there's a lot of people in the kingdom of God that are liars. You know why? They say they're Christians, but they don't follow. Does everybody understand that? Because the word believe means to what? Follow. See, they're saying they're believers, but they're really not. They're not following. That calls them a liar. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. Look at this. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears you have what? Open to hear. But burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll, the book is written of me. How many of y'all know you're written in the book? Listen, you were written in the book when you were sent here. When you give up your last breath determines whether it stays in there or not. It says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. In other words, you already know what pleases them and displeases them. You were born with it. We already knew what was right and wrong. We really didn't know too much about righteousness. But we knew what was good and evil. Amen. We waited patiently. We endured for direction because divine direction brings divine protection. How many of y'all want to stay under the protection of the Lord Amen. Well, then without direction, there is no protection. And direction comes by counsel, the word, hearing the voice of God through the Spirit, and offices of the body of Christ. I'd like to say all offices, but I can't. Because there are some people in office that have put themselves there, and God hasn't put them there. Proverbs 3. Man, is it hot in here? Thank you. Miracles never cease. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Would you read it with me, please? Trust in the Lord with when you feel like it. Trust in the Lord when you're in trouble. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your understanding, your own understanding. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge Him and He will what? He shall what? Direct your path. So that means you must acknowledge Him. Listen, you're not going to acknowledge someone you don't have a relationship with. Again, I'm going to share this with you because I love this. David said, I always have the Lord before me. See, if the Lord is always before you, that's relationship. And whatever you do, you're acknowledging Him. So whatever you're doing, you're going, Lord, what do you think about this before I do it? What about this? See, if He's always before you, then you're always acknowledging Him. That's called relationship. If He's not before you, then you don't have a relationship. But He wants to build one with you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 7, what does it say? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, when you truly have a relationship with the Lord, there'll be a reverence, honor, and respect. It's called fear of the Lord. So we're not going to go do things, touch unclean things, look at unclean things, desire unclean things, when there's a relationship. Why? Because you reverence, honor, respect Him. That's called the fear of the Lord. Because there's a closeness. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from what? Evil. In other words, you're going to turn away from evil. You're going to say, I don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because I want to stay clean. I want to maintain my relationship with the Lord. I don't want to do anything to offend Him because I love Him. He loves me. And when you love someone, you don't do things to offend them, do you? Not on purpose anyways. It will be what? Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Wow. Trust, acknowledge. What are you looking for? Direction. It was going to take the fear of the Lord. Relationship. Why? Because He is light, and light exposes darkness. Amen? He's going to expose your enemy. That's why He allows me and you to go through trials and tribulations to expose your enemy. Didn't He lead Jesus into the wilderness? Amen? What did He do? He exposed the enemy, didn't He? And Jesus kicked his butt. But he didn't overcome him by what he thought. He overcame him by what was spoken, the word of God. Proverbs 11. Yeah, it says, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Someone will lead us into the wilderness, and we're kicking and screaming. Why? He's trying to bring us through training. For what? Reigning. Unless you experience something, you don't learn it. There's only so much book knowledge you can get until you got to start to experience it. It's called on-the-job training. I know I've run into a lot of people that are professional students. They'll stay in college till they die. All of this worldly knowledge is doing them no good. The knowledge from above is the greatest. See, you can't overcome the world with worldly knowledge. You have to have other knowledge. That's called wisdom from above. The wisdom from beneath is called demonic. Amen? Proverbs 11, verse 1, let's read it. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. Look at this, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will what? Will guide them. The integrity. This is Christ-like integrity is going to guide you. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will what? Destroy them. Perversity. How does a person come perversity? Well, opens himself up to demonic, unclean things. Riches Do not profit in the day of wrath. In other words, you can't pay your way out. But the righteous what? The righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will what? Direct his way aright. Why? Because he's eating from the tree of life, which produces righteousness. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will produce death. It says, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. See, when a person becomes unfaithful, what happens is they're unfaithful to God's presence. That means love is going to be exchanged for lust. See, the enemy is going to begin to exchange things. He's always knocking on your door. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Sold his birthright to feed his flesh. Many people are selling their birthright for fame, for riches, for self-glory, and for lust. Lust is nothing but an overwhelming desire. That's what lust is. It's an overwhelming desire, and it's not by you, it's by a spirit that promotes it. It is a demon of lust. It pushes a person. It entices a person. Addiction is lust. It's an overwhelming desire. That's why people get caught up in pornography and all kinds of other things. Alcoholism and so forth. Because it's an overwhelming desire. That desire does not come from the Father above. It comes from the Father beneath. In Psalm 5. So one of the things is we got to begin to acknowledge and recognize that we need direction. Consistently. Without direction, there's no protection. Direction will always lead you into protection. When God directs you, you're protected. When you're not directed by the Lord, you're unprotected. Psalm 5, is everybody there? In verse 1. Let's read it. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In other words, look at this. Look at the next verse. In the morning I will what? Direct it to you and I will look up. Listen, what you sow is what you what? Reap. When you begin to direct your voice first thing in the morning to him, what are you going to receive? Direction. Because what you sow is what you reap. Let me tell you this. If you're going to go out there and cook your eggs and bacon and all that flesh before you pray, then you're not putting him first. Go grab your cup of coffee and go hit the prayer room. Coffee and prayer. That's cool. God don't sit down with the pig. Hello. Does everybody understand? In fact, he cast demons in the pig, didn't he? So don't bring the pig into God's presence, okay? And don't let the pig, the football pig, mislead you. Or the basketball pig. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Let's speak it. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. That's called a liar. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will what? Worship. That is the greatest thing that you can do to God in the arena as for acknowledging him and who he is and in gratitude is worship him. When you can't worship him, you're telling him, I got it. I don't need you. Does everybody get that? Well, I don't feel that way. It doesn't matter what you feel. You express who you are. Everybody understand that? You will express where you are and who you are. I will, in fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. What's he asking for? Direction. What's he saying? Look, I'm going to direct my voice to you first thing in the morning because I know what I sow is what I reap. And I want to maintain a close relationship with you. Because without my close relationship with you, I'm going to be misled. That means I'm going to allow the enemy to interrupt what your will is for me. Psalm 31. Hallelujah. You know, some people go to basketball games, football games, and whatever. They praise and worship more they do there than here. Does everybody understand that? There are people out there cheering like crazy and going bonkers, jumping for joy, cheering their team on, and they can't even come in God's presence and worship. There's a lot of so-called believers out there that don't go to church on Sundays because they're watching the sports or going to the sports. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing that once in a while and whatever. But some people put it as an idol. And what kind of example is it to their kids? I was brought up that way. Your kid in Sunday was football, man. Church? Forget it. We had church in our living room. We hoot and howled after the pig. But it led me to jail. Didn't lead me on a righteous path. The more I stayed out of God's presence, the worse I got. I tried, but I couldn't stop. That's not changed. The less of God's presence, the less of direction, the less of protection. Amen? Is everybody okay? Psalm 31, let's read it, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, what? Lead me and guide me. What's he asking for? Direction. Pull me out of the net which they've secretly laid for me. How many of y'all know that the enemy is secretly laying a snare for you every single day? Every day he's trying to set you up. He says, for you are my strength. Lead me and guide me. He's crying for direction. Again, why? Because he knows if he gets direction, he's going to get what? Protection. And now if you miss the direction, you're going to get correction. Amen? Psalm 73. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 73 and verse 21. Let's speak it together. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. In other words, he made a wrong decision somewhere along the line here. Amen. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your what? Counsel. And afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What he's saying, Lord, forgive me. I made a wrong decision, but I'm acknowledging you. I'm holding on because you're my guide. I can't do anything without you. Direct me. Direct me in what I'm supposed to do. Show me. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 4. And Jesus rose from the dead. He hung out for 40 days. He's getting ready to depart. He assembled his disciples. There was 500 disciples. And in verse 4 it says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them. He what? Commanded them. Listen, if God commands you something, it's not something to think, well, maybe I should or shouldn't. It wasn't an asking. He commanded. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he commanded the 500 to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He told them to go wait in the upper room. Only 120 obeyed. Why? Because he said in verse 8, what does it say? But you shall receive what? Power. Hello? You wondering, people are going out there with no power? No power. No. Too many people are out there without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. That means you're going to be like me. In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Again, he commanded them. He gave them direction, didn't he? 120 obeyed, 380 disobeyed. Yeah. Where'd I get that from? 380 disobeyed. So was there protection for them? No, you know what happened? They got misled. Misled. You know how many organizations have started without God's presence? You know, without the backing of the anointing, it's like taking up seeds and throwing it at the devil. It doesn't do nothing. The anointing turns the word of God into a sword. So you can call them slew foot and stupid and jerk and whatever you want to call them. It doesn't do nothing. Even the Pharisees tried to cast out a devil out of one of the dudes that, and he said, in the name of Paul's God, Jesus, we cast you out. That dude, that demon took that dude, kicked that bug, threw him outside butt naked. Oh, don't get religious on me. Kicked his butt up and down the street. Made him look like an idiot. Does everybody get it? Why? Without the backing of the anointing, we're nothing. That's God's presence. It's his presence that we want all the time. It's his presence that brings freedom. It's his presence that brings what? Direction. Amen? John 16. It's God. I'm going to get a lot of emails. Thank God I don't read them. I don't read junk mail. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to hell. I'm all right. Yeah. Praise God. John 16 and verse 12. Is everybody there? And Jesus said to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? He will guide you. He will direct you into what? All truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to what? Come. My goodness, if people would grab hold of this, that is the Holy Spirit that's going to guide me and you in every area. He's going to tell us things to come. How many of y'all know if the enemy's setting a trap for you every single day, you think the Holy Spirit's going to expose it? How many, look at this. How many times have you thought, oh my gosh, I knew this was going to happen? Well, you knew it was going to happen because the Holy Spirit told you it was going to happen. But you chose to reject his counsel, correction, or direction, and you fell into the trap. He does, look at you, we can't stand before God and say, you never told me that. Man, he's going to pull out that whole thing. Oh, really? Here it is. When, how, where? I've been telling you every single day, but you keep shutting your heart and your ears to me. You want to do your will and not mine. You're not willing to receive my correction or instruction. And for that, you've ended up in destruction. Yeah. However, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's this truth. He'll guide you to all truth. In verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? Declare to you. How many all want what you've inherited? Amen. Well, see, the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to steal your inheritance. He's coming to steal your identity. He's coming to steal the new life. 1 Samuel 16. How many of you know God never interrupts himself? Amen. What he's told you to do, he won't interrupt it. 1 Samuel 16. In verse 1, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, who was a prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul was the king. See, and I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Why did he reject him? Because he kept rejecting God's counsel, correction, and direction. So he says, fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. So Samuel's asking direction from the Lord on this. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. I like how God did this. He was outwitting. I mean, think about this. He was outwitting Saul. He said, look, take a heifer, come and offer it to me, and that way I'll get you in that position. And then you'll be able, but do this now. And invite, in verse 3, he said, then invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you. So what does he say? He says, look, man, go get a heifer, go sacrifice, invite Saul, but invite Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and his kids. Bring it all over there. So he gave him direction. Why? Because he said, Saul will kill me if he finds out. So the Lord gave him direction, which brought what? Protection. Does everybody understand that? Now let's see what happens. Very interesting. In verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet a youngest one, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord, what? Departed from Saul. Now Saul was king. So God removed his presence from him. He also removed his protection from him. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. In other words, a demon accessed him now. Now he was in torment. He was in mind-binding spirit, distressing spirits, tormenting spirit. He was being tormented consistently. Why? Because he rejected the counsel of the Lord in correction. So Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Listen, even they knew what demons were then. It's amazing where believers don't even know what demons are now. They don't even know when they're being influenced by a devil. And they think it's just them. Hallelujah. In verse 16, let our master now command your servant who is before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it will be when he plays it with it his hand, when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be what? Well, so listen, what they had to do then, because the presence of God left Saul, of course, the presence of God was on King David, on David, who was anointed king, so he needed to have that same anointing near him, so they called for David, who was a skillful player, who was carrying the anointing as king. He got close to Saul. He began to play. So he had to play to bring God's presence because God's presence was no longer on the king. Does everybody understand that? To remove that spirit. So they had to constantly bring someone to bring the music, to bring the presence of God, and to remove that spirit. But when the playing stopped, then the spirits came back because God had lifted his protection from Saul, King Saul. Think about when people backslide. Look what Luke chapter 11. So when you reject direction, you lose protection. Luke 11. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Luke 11 verse 24. What does it say? When a what? An unclean spirit is a demon. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, finding none, and he says, I will return to my house. That is our body from which I came. How many of y'all know they want to come back? They fight constantly to come back. They'll do everything they can. They're always knocking on your door. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Nice. You cleaned my house for me. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. In other words, now the fight is even harder and it's more difficult to get back into position. Is everybody okay? Seven demons come back worse. Psalm 119. So When we reject direction, counsel, or correction, we lose protection. Amen? And what happens? Spirits come back. They start accessing people. They start tormenting their mind. Fear starts to increase again. Sickness starts to increase again. All kinds of things. Debt starts to increase again. Heaviness and oppression start to increase again. Anxiety, stress, panic attacks start to increase again. Psalm 119, verse 132. What does the word say? He who dwells in a secret place of the Most High, right? Shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. Wow, there's a place of protection. That's a wonderful protection prayer. In fact, we've set it up in our penetrating booklet prayer where it's actually you praying it. It's praying for you in that protection. That's why it's called a penetrating prayers. Penetrates the unseen into this into the arena where it kicks butt on the powers of darkness, penetrates, cuts people loose. We get wonderful testimonies of that. But you got to sow, don't you? You can't hold it and expect it to do something for you. You can't sleep on it and you can't put it on your head. There's going to be no transfer. I hear people, I sleep with my Bible. That's good. Isn't it uncomfortable? There ain't going to be no transferring. Yeah, I sleep it with him under my pillow. That's good. Does it speak to you? Speak the word. Psalm 119, 132. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, not think it. My eyes, Okay, verse, look upon me and be what? Merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. What's he asking for? Direction. Amen. Psalm 50. So we see we've gotten direction from counsel. We talked about correction and chastisement and the word. Psalm 50. The voice of the Spirit. So if you're not willing to receive direction from the Lord or rejecting it, are you considered righteous or wicked? Wicked. There's no gray area. Amen. There's no gray area. Gray is dark. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 16. Let's read it together. What does it say? But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? In other words, you speak the right things, but you carry the wrong spirit. Seeing you what? Hate instruction and cast my words behind you. You saw a thief, you consented with him, and you've been a partaker with adulterers, fornicators, pornography, whatever it may be. You gave your mouth to evil, you lied, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brothers, you blame on everybody else. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent, says the Lord. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you. I will set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, who lose the fear of the Lord, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders or conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. He says those who hate instruction, they hate counsel. He says, you cast my words behind you, reject everything I try to do to direct you so you can be protected. Now I've stepped away and you're not protected anymore. And you'll run the course until you choose to humble yourself and turn your face towards me. In Proverbs 12. I truly believe that because we are in such a time and place right now that there's so much distraction, so much impression, that we really need to grab hold and wait for direction. Why? Because, see, so many people are reacting instead of responding. And the reason why they're reacting is because they're not waiting for direction to respond. Amen? Verse 1 through 3. Let's read it. Proverbs 12. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, But he who hates correction is stupid. Now, that's what the Word says. So you can't get me on that one. You can get me on the other one, but you can't get me on this one. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Dummy. Bonehead. Verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he will what? He will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be what? Moved. How many of y'all know God wants to get you in a place where you're immovable? It doesn't matter what's going on, no matter what storm's happening, no matter how you feel, even though how you think. You're going to only allow truth to dictate you, nothing else. Isaiah 5. Almost done, about 40 more scriptures. I'm only kidding. Isaiah 5. Hey, this is training. We're not doing Bible study. This is training for reigning. These are training sessions. These are words from the Lord that is saying, look, get ready. Why? Because he tells us things to come. So I can guarantee you that there's a trap being set for you, and if you don't get direction, you're going to step in it. And it's going to stink. Verse 20, Isaiah 5:20. Woe, W-O-E means without eternity. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Is that happening now? Even the president does that. Most politicians do the same thing. Anyways. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Let's start this over. I love this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men violent for mixing intoxicating drink. Those are bartenders. Woe to bartenders who justify the wicked for a bribe. Woo. And take away justice from the righteous man. Oh, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so the root will be as a rottenness. And their blossom will ascend like dust because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts. In other words, his counsel, correction, and direction. And despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. And he has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. And the hills trembled. Their carcasses were his refuge in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away. But his hand is stretched out still. Woe without eternity. 2 Timothy 3. Reject direction. Where there's no direction, there is no protection. 2 Timothy 3. You know, one of the things I look at is an area to where, you know, when you are in God's, when you're in his divine direction, which is his divine order also, and then you're in his divine protection, you have a lifetime warranty. Amen? I got a lifetime warranty. I got a tag. It's a lifetime warranty. I'm stamped with it. Call this number at any time, 1-800-GOD. Any repairs? It's a lifetime warranty. You got a sickness? Exchange it for his stripes. You got a heart problem? You exchange it for his heart. You got a mind problem? You exchange it for his mind. You got a will problem? You exchange it for his will. Hello? It's the power of exchange. Why? Because you can't change without exchange. He exchanged, he started right on the cross and made the exchange. And it's still there. We have access to every exchange. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this what? Read it with me. That in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. And from such turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, leading them away by various lusts.
Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Why? Because he gave him direction. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I want to close at Psalm 1. Hallelujah. Direction brings protection. Direction, you lose protection. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Don't lean on your own understanding. You will get direction from his counsel, his word, his voice, and sometimes circumstances in your life. Things that are going wrong. Hello? Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what about the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly? He's cursed. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But as the delight is in the law of the Lord, which is his counsel, correction, and direction, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does will what? Prosper. One of the things you can tell that you've got access of demonic forces in your life is when there's limitations on your life. You go to a certain arena, and you can never break through. You can never break through. There's a certain arena, then all of a sudden, boom, you lose it all, and you got to start over again. Does everybody understand that? That's because there's demonic activity. Why? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, or what we call reward, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Is rebellion ungodly? Amen. Is it wicked? Yeah. In other words, what we sow is what we reap. Amen. Important today. Get ready. Get direction. Receive counsel. Take your heart out yourself and begin to look at it. Examine yourself where you're at. What's your attitude? What's your motive? Are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? This is what we want to look at every day. Is the Lord before you in everything you do? Are you acknowledging him? Are you waiting on direction? Or are you just jumping to everything? It's time. We need to be immovable because right now there's a tremendous movement. There's a movement of darkness, but there's a movement of the Spirit. Revival is happening. There's no doubt. It's happening. God is calling out. He's arming up, he's preparing, and he's sending. There's a war going on. We know the end result, amen, but the process of going through it is what's vitally important for me and you. The end result is victory in Christ. Well, you got to stay in Christ, amen. You stay in Christ, you stay in his word, you stay in his obedience, you stay in his counsel, you stay in his correction, you stay in his direction, and you maintain protection. Other than that, you'll lose it. And the enemy will come and easily deceive you. He can outwit anyone quickly. Without the anointing and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, we'll get outwitted. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you protect this word and this seed that's been imparted with the blood of Christ. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Prepare our hearts for communion in the name of Jesus, and you may bring your tithes and offerings up in Jesus' name.